Well, the state is well aware of the issues and needs of its growing Hispanic population. It did a statewide needs assessment in 2008. What can you tell us about that assessment and what it found?
That report, which was commissioned by former Governor Ruth Ann Minner, was the result of a series of focus groups, interviews with opinion leaders throughout the state, and a survey of 800 Latinos. It was conducted largely by phone. The report found three key areas of need that fall under the umbrella of education. Classes where Spanish-dominant Hispanics could learn English, job training programs so they could learn additional skills that lead to access for greater work opportunities, and addressing a high dropout rate among Hispanic youth. Public transportation was another need. Many Hispanics don't have driver's licenses, and bus service is inadequate, especially in rural areas. Healthcare is a problem because much of the Hispanic population has no health insurance, and many rely on the emergency room for basic medical care. And a quarter of Hispanics reported difficulty communicating with healthcare providers because the providers do not speak their language. So, and also access to mental health services was something that was quite minimal. Screenings for serious diseases were not readily available. In spite of all of these things, the survey from 10 years ago found that Hispanics do bring a positive immigrant spirit and optimism to the state, even though many of them worked in low-paying and physically demanding jobs.
So what has been done since then to address those needs and issues that you just mentioned, and with what degree of success?
Well, there have been a lot of efforts to address specific issues, but the problems and challenges have not been addressed in a coordinated way. The report helped identify and spotlight needs, and that prompted some agencies to take specific actions. Church groups, for example, got into English as first second language programming for the Hispanic residents in their areas. In public education, school districts have paid more attention to their programs for English language learners and to behavioral needs that these students have. But again, it was only this week that Governor Carney announced a plan to provide additional funding for programs to address these students' needs directly. And that's something that's in place in virtually every other state in the union. So as you can see, the pattern here has been going after individual problems by individual organizations rather than anything that's coordinated.
But you report that that is changing with a new effort to tackle these persistent challenges. What is different about this effort and how did it come together?
This new effort is something called La Colectiva, and it's coming together in Sussex County, whose rural nature and conservative outlook has heightened this sense of isolation, both physical and cultural, experienced by the Hispanic population. In a little over a year, this collaborative effort has come together, and now involving more than 60 organizations, a cross-section of groups that either primarily serve Latinos and those that have been serving the Sussex populace as a whole. Participants in the project have been interviewing Latino residents of the county, focusing primarily on immigrants, and they have found that the problems that were identified in the governor's commission report in 2008 still largely exist today. After 6 months of doing this interviewing, the first half of last year, the participants in La Colectiva began brainstorming ideas for fresh approaches to address the problems. Now they're getting ready to put together some pilot programs, and it's going to be another month or two before the first of these programs start rolling out. But the hope is that by the end of the year, they will reach and serve at least 300 Latino immigrants.
At the heart of this is the Arsh Cannon Fund. For people who may not be familiar with that, what is it? How does it operate?
The fund is the legacy of one of Delaware's great power couples from the 1970s. Samuel Arsh was a corporate lawyer with the big Wilmington law firm Mars, Nichols, Arsh & Tunnell. His wife, Roxana Cannon Arsh, was one of the first women admitted to the Delaware bar. And in 1971, when Governor Peterson appointed her to family court, she became the first female judge in the state's history. Together, they created the fund, and its assets, which are now in the neighborhood of $15 million, are managed by the Delaware Community Foundation. The Arsh daughter, Adrienne, and their niece, Christine Cannon, are the fund's prime decision makers, with Christine Cannon providing boots-on-the-ground oversight for many of the projects. Because Samuel and Roxana Arsh came from families of Russian immigrants, the fund's leaders thought it was appropriate to use the assets to benefit Delaware's current wave of immigrants who are primarily Hispanic. The Arsh Cannon Fund paid for that 2008 study that we just talked about, and since then it has channeled about $8 million into programs that benefit Latinos, mostly by offering grants to agencies so that they would broaden their offerings to reach this demographic group. For example, Arsh Cannon has provided funds to the Delaware branch of the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill to provide mental health counseling and information in Spanish to Sussex County residents. But Christina Cannon wanted to do something better. And after meeting with leaders of La Esperanza, which is a Latino organized led agency in Georgetown, the idea for La Colectiva was developed.
And you mentioned that La Colectiva is looking to launch some pilot programs. One of the first is expected to be a pilot services navigation system. Can you explain a little bit about what that is?
As I've said, there are a lot of services available in Sussex County to the Latino population. However, because of language issues, other communication issues, transportation, many Latinos don't know about these services, and if they do know about them, they have difficulty accessing them. So the idea behind the navigation system is this. If a Latino immigrant checks in at a participating organization for a health screening, or to sign up for an English language class, or to get daycare for their child, there a designated community navigator who might be located at that site would interview the individual and figure out what other services that are available throughout the county would benefit them. And then they would explain the services, they'd set up the appointments, and do whatever else they could do to point the individual in the right direction. All of the details here of how this is going to work haven't quite been worked out, but this isn't going to be a situation where you come in and you get some information, they hand you some phone numbers, and then you're off on your own. There's going to be some system, again, still to be determined, for follow-up and tracking to make sure that the people do get the services that they are interested in. The navigation system is scheduled to start towards the end of February, and in this pilot form. And as I said, they hope to reach and serve in the neighborhood of 300 people by the end of the year.
A sense of what else may be coming, short-term, long-term?
Okay, also in the works, after-school program at Georgetown Middle School. Last year, the Indian River School District realized that there were about 350 Latino students at the school, and when classes ended for the day, these kids were walking home and really had nowhere to go to. Their parents might be at work, they'd get into trouble. And it wasn't generally a good situation. So anyhow, the idea for an afternoon after school program came up, and this would provide them with recreation, with a snack, with help with their homework and other activities, and give them a safe place to stay. The original plan was to seek funding through the State Department of Education. Now that's been changed in the last week or so, and now they're going to go out and look for funds from businesses or foundations. The details aren't all clear, but they're optimistic that the pieces will come together. Also in the works are a number of other programming for youth. There's something called Strive for Five, or Take Five, that is going to give high school students training and information on some of the key things that they're going to need before they're graduating. And it's several other things along those lines. There's a very important focus here on youth building the next generation of strong community leaders among Hispanic youth.
One thing we haven't touched on that you mentioned in your piece, and is the kind of sense of fear that so many in the Hispanic community live with, especially immigrants in Sussex. How big a hurdle is that to really addressing the community's needs and challenges?
Well, you know, as you pointed out, there's about 9% of the county's population is Latino. Actually, that, you know, that's census data. The number is probably a little bit higher, both because of increasing population and also the fact that census notoriously undercounts the undocumented individuals living in the country. Still, you know, the leaders that I've spoken to say that the national anti-immigration bias, on top of the conservative culture in Sussex County, makes even the immigrants who are here legally fearful to encounter government officials because they worry about things like harassment, family separation, and even the possibility of being deported. In this environment, Latino residents are cautious about who they can trust. They need reassurance before reaching out to access services, even from providers who are eager to help them. One quick example. 2 years ago, this program called Tyler's Camp set up in Georgetown to serve low-income middle school kids. And they had hoped to sign up 50 Latino children working primarily through La Esperanza, which has a, you know, a good network in the community. But they only got 10. The likely reason for this is that the group of people who were running the program didn't do enough outreach. So the Latino families weren't sure whether they could trust this operation. The second year went better, but the point is that, you know, they learned something about the necessity of doing outreach and building some trust.
And taking that into consideration, how optimistic are those involved that they've found now an approach that will work well and be successful?
To pull La Colectiva together, the Arsh Cannon Fund hired Catherine Lindroth, who's a former manager with Teach for America, and she organized the Summer Learning Collaborative, which organizes programs that combat summer learning loss among low-income children and offers it through community centers throughout the state. Lindroth has also been behind a couple of other successful collaborative ventures, and Christine Cannon is confident that Lindroth will be able to build sustainable partnerships among the 50-plus organizations that are now working together in Sussex. And Lindroth herself predicts that Latinos in Sussex will experience a sea change in access to services by the end of next year. Now, let me offer a couple of notes of caution here. First, I think these groups can create fresh structures that appear to be workable, but it's easier to do that on paper than to put it into practice. Second, it's one thing to show immigrants where they can access services, but having them get there when they don't have cars or live close to a bus stop is another story. You know, and finally, it is indeed hard to quantify this whole matter of fear and trust. Most everyone involved is well-intentioned, but it's no easy task to convince people who have been living in the shadows that they can now safely step outside and enjoy the sunlight.